The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse.
The beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
Keeping our eyes on a world gone mad from our research laboratory overlooking historic downtown Shelbyville, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and of course, the apocalypse will be tweeted.
That's right. So welcome. Today is Tuesday, October 12th of 2010.
Today is the real Columbus Day.
Yeah, they keep trying to change that on us. They changed all the president's birthdays, and they changed Columbus Day. But today is the actual day that Christopher Columbus, the anniversary of the day Christopher Columbus landed.
It is indeed. It's also the anniversary of my nephew's wedding. I remember that because I sang at the wedding, and I kept telling him I was going to dress as the Nina, the Pinta, or the Santa Maria. maybe all three.
Which nephew was that, and did he get the
Mike.
Joke? Okay, yeah, he would have gotten the joke.
He did.
Daryl, God love him, but he oh, okay.
He would have gotten it, too. He just wouldn't have said so. Okay. Daryl, who manages to speak without ever moving his lips.
Yeah, but that's, you know, I think helps him in the blues career that he's
it does, and he is he's so talented.
Yes.
I'm so proud of that boy. You know, I've got some pretty cool relatives.
We both do, actually.
We truly do.
A variety of talents.
We do.
Yeah.
And that doesn't even, we're not even talking about Sam yet.
No, of course, Sam outshines them all. So
anyway, well
welcome. And it's interesting that you bring up Christopher Columbus. Because I think that'll launch us into the first story that we want to mention tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about entertainment tonight and some memes that are propagating through the pop culture, through movies.
It's there was screaming meme time.
Yes. A couple of interesting films opening this week. One getting wide distribution. One opening only in New York. Looks like an independent film that we'll talk about here for a bit. The one that with the Christopher Columbus reference is called Skyline. A new film that some of you are aware of because we've gotten some email that actually directed us to the trailer for the film. And we really appreciate when you do that because
we can't see everything. I do my best, but and you do your best, but we don't have eyes all, in the back of my head.
Well, and frankly, we're trying to lead fairly normal lives around
this
schedule.
Well, yeah, like this morning I was at the church, baking turkeys.
Yeah, helping for the big annual turkey supper at First UMC.
Oh, yeah.
This film, Skyline, is produced or directed by the same fellas that they've done some other films that, a bit gory perhaps, and certainly not the message that we as Christians would promote, and that's not the point here. I mean, they've made a name for themselves with special effects. They directed Aliens versus Predator. They contributed special effects, visual effects to films like Avatar and so forth. So these guys have done they've proven their chops there, and here they've been given a chance to direct this film Skyline, which essentially is about an alien invasion. It looks similar in tone to Independence Day.
It's a very dark tone.
Right.
It reminds me of District 9, which, of course, is the Earth having to deal with the cooperating with aliens. And they've sort of sequestered them in this district. I won't say more if you haven't seen it. But this one looks like it's just – it's Independence Day gone wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Independence Day with a bleaker outlook. Now, we've only seen synopsis of the plot, so we don't know exactly what happens. The film opens tonight, actually, 10-12 of 10. So, or is it 11-12?
It's 11-12.
I'm sorry, 11-12. So it opens 1 month from today. That's right. That's right. 1 month from today.
Be sure you watch the trailer because at the very end they're announcing the premiere date. And it's 11-12-10, but they show you the 12 first.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a reason. Anytime something like that happens, why are they showing the 12, then the 11, then the 10?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just asking.
The reference to Columbus in the film is a video clip featuring Dan Rather talking about Stephen Hawking, one of the world's smartest men, arguably, who was quoted at, and I don't remember when he said this, if this was recent or if this was from some years back, because obviously Dan Rather is retired. He's no longer actively, mm-hmm. Delivering the news, but Rather reminding us that Hawking had said, sending a message to outer space, as we've done with the Voyager probe and the Pioneer probes, might not be a good idea, because the response we get, the beings who respond if they arrive on Earth and they're advanced enough technologically to make the trip across the vast gulf of outer space, might get here and find themselves in the position of Christopher Columbus when he landed in the New World. The point being, according to Hawking, that it didn't turn out well for the Native Americans.
No.
And that's apparently the film. But what the interesting point, at least from the trailers that we've seen, is that what lures people outside to be consumed, looks like, by these alien ships is light. So people step outside into the light and suddenly are sucked up into the sky. Almost like
the rapture.
Yes, the description of the rapture in the Bible as, caught up in the air.
In fact, in the end, it said the tagline is "Don't look up."
Yeah, which is, of course,
we're commanded to look up.
Tells us that when we see all these things happening, wars and rumors of wars, mm-hmm. and earthquakes in diverse places, then look up,
for because your redemption draws nigh.
So that's a film that'll be opening in 1 month. That might be one.
We hardly ever go to the theater. We're, honestly, unless they have a really good deal.
Yeah.
No.
Well, we'll probably wait till we can watch it on Roku. But still, it might be one to take note of.
If you go watch it and you write a review, mm-hmm. send it to us.
Yeah, and we can
publish it at
Watcher
PID
Magazine
News or Watcher Magazine,
.com.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's one film that we're paying attention to. The other is one that was sent to us by Tom Dunn. We were made aware of this by mm-hmm. Tom Dunn, mm-hmm. who organized the conference in Canton, Ohio, Supernatural Science and Prophecy, and also the Last Days Conference down in Nashville back in April. And he sent this to us and a couple of our friends, like Tom Horn, Russ Dizdar, and so forth, and said, you want to take a look at this film. And it is very interesting. And you know what? I should have brought up the audio here so I can...
Well, you can do that while I can... Can
sure.
I just talk about another story while you've teased that?
Right.
You get the audio ready, and I'll talk about the 180-day Happy Meal art project.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Happy Meals last for at least 6 months.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In other words, they don't decay?
Well, they don't decompose. It looks like the disturbing point is, let me just go to this story, which I will post, and I'm doing it right now, to the Instapaper account. So if you are following us over there, I'll make sure it starts so you can see it. Vladimir Lenin, King Tut, and the McDonald's Happy Meal. What do they all have in common? A shocking resistance to Mother Nature's cycle of decomposition and biodegradability. Because apparently they can last for at least 6 months.
Oh,
the disturbing point brought home by the latest project of New York-based artist and photographer Sally Davies, who bought a McDonald's Happy Meal back in April and has left it out in her kitchen to see how well it would hold up over time. She has a picture posted that was taken on October 7th. This is a meal that was bought in April. The results, the only change that I can see is that it's become hard as a rock. So, what's in the Happy Meal?
Well, that is a good question, isn't it?
Well, we remember the story from a few months ago about ground beef that had ammonia added to
it. That's right. It was the the pink slime.
We don't buy the pink slime anymore.
The leavings from beef that were kind of ground up, mixed with ammonia to get rid of the E. coli. I mean, and leavings is a nice way of saying the bits of the cow that you wouldn't normally ask for when you go to the butcher shop.
No, and that's why when you get a great deal on one of those big tubes of ground beef, beware.
Yeah, and this is kind of stuff that's being sold to school districts around the country because it helps them save a couple of cents a pound on the ground beef. And when you're serving up, the Los Angeles School District serves up something like 850,000 lunches a day, something like that.
It's ridiculous. You can understand why they're trying to save money, but for goodness sake.
Yeah, and the thing that's amazing was when that story broke about the pink slime is that the question was whether the E. coli was actually being all the way killed, not whether eating ammonia-treated beef might be harmful. That was the scary thing about that whole story. We've got this
call him
Jim? This is jimthefilm.com is the website, jimthefilm.com, and it's an independent release, science fiction, and it deals with the topic, and this is why Tom Dunn sent it to us, I'm sure. It deals with the topic that was central to the discussion of the Supernatural Science and Prophecy Conference. Listen to the audio here. I think you'll get a sense of the film.
Our children are our most precious resource. And as we all know, the world can be a brutal, unforgiving place.
You can really do that? You can just cut and paste attributes into a person.
Dr. Lindholm is a pioneer in her field. I think you'll be amazed at what she and her team can do for you.
I'm sorry for asking, Mr. Katowski, but is there a Mrs. Katowski?
No, not anymore. All she ever wanted was a child, and we never had the chance to have one.
And you would like to honor her memory by giving her the child she never had?
Is that possible?
It is possible, that and much more.
Enhanced intelligence, superior physical attributes, all the things your kid is going to need to keep up with a coming enhanced generation.
How can I raise a child that can't even take care of myself?
They'll do it for you. They can do anything.
Come on in and let our attentive specialists help you build your dream child today.
I need to know that my kid will be ready for anything. I can't tell what's real or just some episode in my head. What do you expect me to do? At least this way I'll leave a mark.
Yeah, right, a mark. Or a stain.
We have in our midst a visitor from the outer compounds, a maintenance clone.
Listen, we can work this out.
Don't our children have a right to a secure future? We think so.
Everything will be okay. I promise.
Jim, the birth of a new world order. Yeah,
That was crackling in my headphones. I hope it doesn't sound that way in the
No, final. I think it will sound that way in the recording. I'm not sure why it was doing that.
Maybe we can fix that.
Probably yes.
Okay.
Well, anyway.
We'll cut this part out. In the meantime.
The film seems to address a lot of the issues that we've been talking about, and especially people like Tom Horn have been talking about for quite some time, that this is the next step, and this is how it will be sold to us, that we have a right, that we have a duty to the next generation to make sure that they're all intelligent and thin and good-looking.
And maybe have six fingers and two heads.
Because there was a great line in that trailer about how you need to make sure your child is prepared for the next, was it enhanced generation?
Enhanced generation.
Yeah.
You know, the movie actually is a whole lot more than just the designer genes, so to speak, because it also shows you a future, a post-apocalyptic future that there's one of the genetically modified people, the clones or whatever they're calling them, is able to psychically link back to the past with Jim's son.
And gives him a look at the future, which is looks about as joyful and
as that movie
promising.
We talked about earlier with the alien spider thing sucking you out,
or the Terminator films. Yeah,
it's very much like the Terminator films because you have a future communicating with the past, mm-hmm. trying to possibly undo it.
Yeah. So interesting. And again, this is an independent film. The name of the film is simply Jim. And so it's not going to get wide distribution. So this may be something that you'll have to look for in a video store or at Netflix or online.
In fact, much of it may go straight to DVD or even, as you say, play online. More and more of these independent films are going straight to internet,
mm-hmm.
rather than, and they will be on DVD, but many of them are just streaming on the internet. And, you know, and we talked about the show Seed. And mm-hmm. I think that's typical of the way if you have a product that doesn't fit neatly into a genre, then you almost have to go with independent, you know, financing it yourself, doing it yourself, even promoting and distributing it yourself via the internet.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of
the internet,
in movies that we watched on the internet, we plugged your laptop into the TV yesterday Sunday, and watched a film that I think is worth mentioning, an independent documentary called mm-hmm. The Day Before Disclosure.
It was really interesting, and we see more. We're talking about memes here, and mm-hmm. the sort of seed ideas that we are planted over and over and over again in our minds, and that one of those big memes lately is big disclosure. Aliens are going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
We're all going to have to deal with what to do with them.
Right. And this is something that can be divisive, you know, arguing whose particular interpretation of the evidence is correct. And I think we need to, when we address this topic, step back and look at the big picture. Somebody, whether it's human or spirit, is going to a lot of trouble to convince us that aliens are coming, that either they're good and they're here to help us make the shift or the jump or the transition to the next phase of our evolutionary development, or that they're evil, and as in the forthcoming movie Skyline, that something that looks sort of like the description of the rapture is actually evil aliens who are here to kill us all.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody is going to a lot of trouble to make us believe that. And that describes the entire UFO phenomenon. Many of the things people see in the sky at night are man-made, things that can't be identified.
Mm-hmm.
Secret government projects, perhaps secret privately funded projects. We don't know, but many of those things are probably of human origin. But some of them are not and cannot be explained by natural means. Regardless, though, of where they come from, the message that continues to get out, and you know, regardless of whether it's a massive intelligence psyop or whether contactees are genuinely hearing messages from our space brothers, somebody is going to a lot of trouble to convince us that we're about to be invited into the mm-hmm. galactic neighborhood. And that we just need to make this spiritual jump. In other words, the UFO phenomenon is not a technological leap forward. And that was a key point that was made in the film that we watched The Day Before Disclosure. It was the final segment of the film was reserved for what this means to us spiritually. And it's very clear that some of the leaders, the most prominent advocates for disclosure, like Greer and Bassett, see this as a spiritual event, a spiritual shift that is about to take place.
Amen. And let us not forget, 2 Thessalonians 2:11 says, "For this reason, God sends them a strong delusion
mm-hmm.
so that they would believe a lie." And this sort of parallels 1 Kings 22:22, which says, "By what means," the Lord asks, "I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouths of all his prophets,"
mm-hmm.
he said. And this is an entity in heaven that says this to the Lord. "You will succeed in enticing him," said the Lord. "Go and do it."
Mm-hmm. So regardless of what is going on here, you know, we look at the fruit of what's happening here. And what's happening is that this message is propagating through our culture, throughout the world. And the message is consistently a New Age message that that we are about to ascend.
Make a big leap, yes.
We are about to ascend to a higher level of spiritual development.
This idea that because that's about to happen, we need to prepare our children for the leap.
Yeah, yeah.
By genetically designing them for the leap.
Right. The singularity movement, the technological advances that are being funded and researched are part of this. It's not just to make our lives more convenient and, to bring entertainment ever closer to us in ever smaller packages. I love my iPod. it's because those devices ultimately, and the research that are, produce those devices will ultimately, it is believed, result in enhancement by which we will transcend the limits of biology and either live forever or nearly forever.
But before you, I'm going to jump in. I'm leaping in. I want to just mention that next July that we're having the big meeting in Branson, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the dates? We'll see if there's a website up yet. I know that Tom Horn and company are working on that. There is a huge meeting that's going to be held, I think, next July. So start clearing your calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Make a date to go, because if you ever attend a conference, this is it.
Yeah. I've got the date someplace, but I don't have it in front of me now because I don't know.
And we're all going to be discussing this very thing.
Because Tom Horn has been kind of leading the charge here, and I think he's right that this is an aspect of prophecy that has not really been discussed. And most of the American church anyway, I would dare say probably most of the Christian church around the world, is not aware of how this fits into the end times prophecy. The techno-gnostics are very much a part of what's happening here, and looking to move mankind.
Techno-gnostics, I like that one.
Yeah, I don't know if that's original to me, but it seems to fit. I mean, it seems to really fit. There were a couple stories out this week that just sort of hint at some of the activity that's going on out there, and the research that's developing. Artificial intelligence, which is a goal of the singularity movement, to create an artificial intelligence that enhances our own human capacity so that we can become, superhuman.
Mm-hmm.
The story that Google, in those little mapping cars they send out so they can take all the street view pictures and by the way, listen to your open Wi-Fi network by accident, of course.
Hello.
Yeah. That some of those cars have been driving around on the streets without the aid of the human driver. They've been driving,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, automatically. Google has developed an artificial intelligence that they've been testing out in their cars and having their cars drive around on automatic. They did this on Lombard Street in San Francisco, among other places. Lombard Street, so I'm told, is one of the most difficult streets to drive in the mm-hmm. world because it is extremely hilly and rather heavily traveled. So,
and they keep stopping at Starbucks. I don't know why.
Yeah, there's that too. There's another story about some research that Google is undertaking, and I didn't flag it because I didn't know
that's
it was going to go
okay
here.
Because we probably don't have time for it.
Yeah, just a few minutes. But the point is, I mean, that technology in and of itself isn't evil, but again, it just shows that Google, which is one of the corporate founders of Singularity University, is actively working towards developing an artificial intelligence, with the ultimate goal being the singularity, the point at which human intelligence is no longer limited by your brain and inside your skull. And that leads to all kinds of interesting questions.
Well, you're going to be talking to Nick Redfern tonight.
Yes.
Doing the interview. It won't be posted until
a week from Sunday.
A week. Oh, so far
away. Wait a week and a half to get there.
No, too long.
Well, Bruce Collins at the Bruce Collins Show. He interviewed Nick Redfern this past week. So you can find the interview with Nick Redfern at Bruce Collins' website.
I listened to that, and that was an excellent interview.
I am reading his book, and as soon as we're done with this program, I'm going to pick up the book and read some more. The book Final Events talks about a secret think tank inside the U.S. government intelligence community that has determined that UFOs are the product of fallen angels and or demons who seek to harvest our souls. However,
it's like the X-Files from a demonic fear point of view.
Yes, and the one thing that this group gets wrong is that they believe that the way to combat the fallen angels and the demons is to force America to live under Old Testament law, the Mosaic law,
mm-hmm.
as though becoming Pharisees will somehow save our souls from demons. But no. Anyway,
Have you read the book, people?
We'll talk to Nick Redfern about that tonight, and that'll be coming up a week from Sunday on View from the Bunker.
Well,
podcast.
I got to take a left turn because over on PID News, I've got several articles that you need to take a look at because there seems to be a theme going. Sadly, I have to say that a couple of gentlemen have literally lost their heads. They've been beheaded.
Mm-hmm.
One was an investigator into the Falcon Lake case. Falcon Lake is the lake that sort of is partly in the United States, mostly in Mexico.
Right.
And an American couple were on the lake and attacked by pirates, mm-hmm. you know, Mexican pirates.
Right.
But anyway, he was killed. The husband was killed. And the investigation into it has ended at this point. Apparently, it's some sort of message they're sending. Don't investigate this any further. You know, I can't help but think of the Last Circle.
Oh,
that honestly, at the very beginning of the Last Circle, she writes about a police officer who disappears into a lake,
mm-hmm.
and it all, you know, it's because he was about to reveal information about a local. Scam within the police force that went to the state level and from there went to frankly, linked into the octopus.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me wonder, what do they not want discovered? Why is this investigator killed?
Mm-hmm.
We also, sadly, again, a story of a decapitation taking place in Arizona. The gentleman had been renting, frankly, just a bed in a room for $100 a month. A worker, you know, along with his fellow workers, they were all trying to share the load and get by inexpensively. But it sounds to me like they were doing some things that were a whole lot very dangerous, let's put it that way. I don't know if it was Santeria. I don't know what they were doing.
Hmm.
But apparently the neighbors reported that there were candles burning in the apartment, Ouija boards, behavior that may have led to the police actually wondering if some sort of ritual had taken place. And that's why this gentleman lost his head.
Hmm. Well, no doubt this story, like the story down in I can't remember the name of it was the Hosanna Church down in Louisiana a couple of years back where they found all of the occult markings and symbols scribed on the floor and the mm-hmm. The hooded robes and the paraphernalia. Decided after taking it to the grand jury that the occult had nothing to do with the crime here. It was just a simple case of child abuse, nothing to see here, move along. And I wonder if that'll be the same thing here in the case from Chandler, Arizona.
The enemy is attacking us on so many fronts. There is the out-and-out occult, supernatural, ritualistic behavior that's taking place. There is the DNA manipulation of our children. There is the story that aliens are going to arrive at any minute, and we're going to be told that Jesus Christ was just one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've come back to either help us or eat us.
Yeah. But again, as Christ said, when we see all these things happening, look up.
Amen.
Redemption
draweth nigh. And you know what? If you don't worry about these things, because the Lord God Almighty is in control.
Amen to that. And on that note, we'll say until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. clear. A better day is coming soon.